29. There's 11 verses. We'll read all 11 verses. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them, that is the cedars, also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You'll notice that this is simply called a Psalm of David. So we do not have any idea when David may have written this psalm, that is, what stage of his life. It is the common belief that David penned this psalm after witnessing a great storm that involved thunder and lightning and rain. And I believe that is a very probable conjecture. The emphasis of the psalm is the Lord. The word Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, occurs 18 times in the psalm. And that name, of course, declares the sufficiency, his sufficiency in himself and his sovereignty over all things. He is also referred to as the God of glory in verse 3, declaring the beauty and the magnificence of his person. Also, as you read the psalm, you cannot help but notice, emphasized is the voice of the Lord, occurring 7 times, probably speaking of the thunder that the psalmist had heard, witnessed. We read in verse 3 that the God of glory thundereth. That is preceded by the words, the voice of the Lord. And then following the God of glory thundereth 6 times, we have that phrase again, the voice of the Lord. Notice in the book of Job, speaking of thunder, the book of Job, chapter 37, we'll read verses 2 through verse 4. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. So again, in this psalm, it appears that David has witnessed a great storm, and as you read the psalm, you see that it begins over the waters and then goes into the forest. So he witnesses this storm moving across the waters into the forest. And what's important here is in the storm, he recognized the sovereign power of God. So the emphasis of the psalm is the greatness of God. Again, the word Lord, 18 times, the God of glory. All that speaks of the greatness of God. But along with that, we read concerning his voice. So we want to center our great, and God speaks. And that is what we want to speak upon tonight. God speaks. But first of all, notice David recognizes there is a recognition of God. There is a valuable lesson here for you and I. We need to learn to behold God. As we go through a day, as we experience the happenings of life, we need to learn to behold God in everything. So again, it appears that David has witnessed this tremendous storm, and in doing so, he saw God. He saw God in the storm. He was aware of God in what he was seeing and what he was experiencing. Of course, the Bible teaches us that creation and nature reveals God. In fact, it so much reveals God that the book of Romans chapter 1 tells us that it leaves man without excuse. If man never hears the word of God, he is still without excuse simply because of creation and nature. So we want to look at several verses regarding this truth that we see God in creation and nature. In Psalm 19, verse 1, very familiar passage of Scripture, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare, the heavens proclaim, they announce, they reveal the glory of God. Nobody has to say anything. All you have to do is look up, and the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Showeth his handiwork. Psalm 97 and verse 6. Psalm 97, verse 6. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory, that is, in the heavens. Then notice in Psalm 104, and we're going to read a lot here in Psalm 104. In verses 1 through 3, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. He's talking about creation, talking about nature, and in it all there is God. Verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth. Verse 6, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, into the place which thou hast founded for them. Speaking of the waters. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Again, in all the creation, in all the nature, the psalmist is seeing God. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them all the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. We read in verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay down in their dens. And go drop down to verse 25. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is the Lethean whom thou hast made to play therein. Go down to verse 30. Verse 29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth a spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Again, the psalmist is seeing God. Everywhere the psalmist looks, he is seeing God. Notice in Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, and verse 17. Acts 19, verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in... Okay, I've got a wrong verse there. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. It ought to be the habit of all of God's people to behold God all around us. Everywhere we look, we see evidence. Nature, observing the happenings of life, God ought to be taken into consideration. The psalmist said in Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Again, he considered these things, and as he considered these things, he thought upon God. So all that our attention would be drawn to God in everything. In everything. When we're driving in our cars and just looking around, that our attention would be drawn to God. Everything that happens, that our attention would be drawn to God. So, he recognizes God. Notice also, beholding God, if we behold God, that always moves us beyond ourselves. So, after David beheld God in this tremendous storm, he was reminded that God was in absolute control. Notice verse 10 of Psalm 29. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Talking about the storm. The Lord is in complete control. Beholding God, we realize God is in complete control. But he also recognized the absolute sovereignty of God. As you read on there in verse 10, he says, yea, or yes, a word of assurance, the Lord sitteth king forever. He was convicted of that as he beheld God in what was going around him, that the Lord sitteth king forever. Now, after beholding God in the storm, David no doubt was moved beyond himself. He no doubt was drawn toward God. Anytime you behold God, you are going to be drawn toward God. He also had a desire to reverence God. He had a desire to worship God. And feeling these things, he issues a call. And we see this in the first two verses of Psalm 29. He issues the call for the mighty to give homage to God. Three times in verses 1 and 2, he says, give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. That word give simply means a tribute. A tribute unto the Lord. He is calling upon the mighty. Notice again, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. So he's speaking to the powerful. Those who have dominance, those who are the most influential. And he says, give unto the Lord. He's calling upon them to look away from themselves and look unto God. Because David, after he had witnessed this storm, that's what he did. He looked away from self and he looked unto God. And now he's calling on the most mighty of the earth to look unto the Lord. He goes on in verse 1, he calls them to recognize that the Lord has a glory. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. That is, ascribe glory to God, attribute glory to God. Glory simply means beauty and magnificence. Attribute beauty and magnificence to God and strength. That is, we don't give strength to God. We don't give beauty to God, but we are to attribute. These things belong to God. So after we behold God, we attribute to God strength. Strength speaks of ability. So he's calling upon them, and he's saying, attribute to God a beauty, and he's speaking to the mighty, and a strength that is above your own. And so again, the psalmist is drawn from himself, drawn to God, and he issues this call. In verse 2, he calls upon them to recognize the supreme greatness of God. Again, he uses that phrase, give unto the Lord the glory. But then there's a key, do to his name, which speaks of his greatness. So the psalmist beheld the nature of God. The psalmist beheld the greatness of God. Again, three times, verses 1 and 2, give unto the Lord. That is, attribute praise unto the Lord. In verse 2, we see that there's also a call to worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We never worship God unless we attribute to God. That is, we recognize who He is. We recognize that He is glorious, that He is beautiful, that He is magnificent, that He is great. We recognize all those things. You can't worship God until you do that. So there is a call here to worship the Lord or bow before. He's speaking to the mighty. He's speaking to the mighty. Bow before the Lord, that is, with reverence, with adoration, with tribute, with acknowledgement. So, beholding God in the storm, David is left to basically celebrate God. That's what he's doing in this 29th Psalm. And he calls upon others to do the same thing. Also, beholding God will move us to trust Him and to see Him as relevant to our situation, to our lives. Notice verse 11. The Lord, that's the same one who sitteth upon the flood, and sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. There's a trust. There's an assurance. And again, it refers to His people. In other words, God is relevant to their lives. Secondly, the thunder is a reminder of the voice of God. Thunder, the thunder here in Psalm 29, is
for our instruction, called the voice of God. And it's referred that way again, we've already read there in Job chapter 37. David hears the thunder, and immediately he thinks of God's voice. Immediately thinks of the voice of God. And again, all for minds that readily think upon God. Not for minds that eventually get around to thinking upon God, but minds that readily think upon God. Minds that readily behold the Lord. David hears the thunder, and he begins to think about the voice of God. And he makes reference to the voice of the Lord 7 times. The thunder, like the voice of the Lord, surpasses all other sounds. Surpasses all other sounds. It also is independent of man. Thunder does not depend upon man one iota. Nor does the voice of God. The thunder is beyond man's control. Man cannot control the thunder. The voice of God is beyond his control as well. God speaks when he pleases to speak. God sends thunder when he pleases to do so. So there is as David hears the thunder, he thinks of the voice of God. Now notice the nature of God's voice. We see it in verse 4. The voice of the Lord. First of all, that phrase occurs 47 times in the Word of God. The voice of the Lord. It reveals that God speaks. God speaks. The nature of God's voice is revealed in verse 4 in a twofold manner. The voice of the Lord is powerful. That is, it's strong. It's forceful. It's overpowering. It's influential. It's compelling. This is demonstrated, of course, in the creation account, and God said, and it was so. We see that all through Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and it was so. That speaks of the power of his voice. We also read in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So his voice is powerful. There's a second thing we read here in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. That is, it's not only powerful, it's magnificent. More powerful than thunder. More magnificent than thunder. The majesty here speaks of the fact that his voice is glorious. That it is awe-inspiring. In Isaiah 30 and verse 30, it is referred to as his glorious voice. His glorious voice. In Ezekiel 43 and verse 2, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and shined, and the earth shined with his glory. So the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks in different tones, just like you and I speak in different tones. He can, and he does, at times, speak harshly. Psalm 2 in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. God can and does speak harshly. He can also speak very gently and sweetly. He can speak with a consoling voice. Psalm 85 and verse 8 says, "For he will speak peace unto his people." He, of course, speaks in a commanding voice. And he can speak in a reproving voice. But whatever tone that God uses, his voice is always powerful. His voice is always majestic. Always. Our problem many times is we have this tendency to put God in a box. And that also goes along with the voice of God, the speaking of God. We just look at certain things, and those are the only things that God can speak through. God can speak through anything. Anything that he chooses, he can speak through. He can speak through an inanimate object. He can speak. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah arrives at Mount Horeb. He's on the run from an angry Queen Jezebel who wants him dead. He's waiting to experience God's presence. And while he's waiting, he witnesses great displays of God's power. He witnesses these displays in the wind. He witnesses an earthquake and fire. Yet we read that he didn't experience God in any of those things. But notice in 1 Kings 19, verses 12 and verse 13. And again, I believe Elijah was expecting to hear from God in the storm, in the earthquake. He was expecting that. But what he wasn't expecting is what happened. In 1 Kings 19, verse 12, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice," a whisper. "And it was so when Elijah heard it," the still small voice, "that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" It was just the whisper of God that got his attention. God doesn't always speak in the thunder. God doesn't always speak with a loud voice. Many times God just speaks with a whisper. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what tone. It doesn't matter the decibel of God's speech. It's powerful. And it's full of majesty. Whenever he speaks. Also, the Lord uses various mediums to speak. Today, primarily, God uses his word to speak to his people. However, God is not limited to his word. But primarily today, God uses his word. That can be the read word. It can be the preached or spoken word. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 38 and 20, "Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee." The voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee. So he can use the preached or spoken word. He can use the printed word. He can use the sung word. But God does speak through his word. And therefore we read in Psalm 119 and verse 19, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereunto." God speaks through his word. And we would be wise to take heed. The Lord also, of course, speaks through circumstances. He does this all the time. We've already seen he speaks through nature. He speaks through creation. But he speaks through circumstances. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. But again, whatever means that God uses, his voice is powerful. His voice is majestic. So realizing the greatness of God, we realize the greatness of his voice. We ought to thank God every day that God speaks. We ought to thank God every day that He speaks our language. And He speaks in a way that you and I can understand. Our problem is many times we don't pay attention. But notice he spends the rest of the psalm talking about the effect of the Lord's voice. The voice of the Lord in nature, whether it be thunder, lightning, has an awe-inspiring power and a majesty. But even more so in the spiritual realm, when God speaks to His creation. We see here in verse 5 that the voice of the Lord has the power to break. We are told twice of this truth. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. I believe David had witnessed lightning striking trees. But he saw in that the voice of God. The cedars of Lebanon. These, of course, were very well known for their size. Very well known for their strength. They were very imposing trees. They were monumental trees. They were very great and distinguished. But twice it is declared that the voice of the Lord breaketh such trees. That is, God's voice can shatter that tree. God's voice can snap it. God's voice can fracture that tree, can splinter that tree. God's voice can penetrate that tree. And that is true today. The voice of God is greater, more imposing, more monumental, more distinguished than the greatest things on this earth. The voice of God can break. And that's why we ought to always pray that God would speak to us. Because God's voice, just a whisper from God, can break us just like that. That's why we ought to pray that God would speak to others. Because God's voice has a breaking power. There are individuals today who are, and I'm talking about God's people, it's certainly true of the unsaved, but we'll talk about God's people, who are chained, enslaved to many, many different things. And all it takes is a voice of God to break the chains. It's all it takes. The voice of the Lord. Notice also the voice of the Lord has moving power. Verse 6. He maketh them, that would refer back to the cedars, also to skip or to dance. Like a calf, a young calf. Lebanon and Sirion, those were mountains. So he's moved from the cedars, and God can make the cedars move. And very noticeably so, just like a young calf. But he goes beyond the cedars and mentions Lebanon and Sirion mountains. He can move them like a young unicorn or a young wild ox. So the calf and the young unicorn speaks of noticeable movement. Both are playful in their movement. It's movement that is very noticeable. God speaks and causes movement. And it is movement that is very, very noticeable. The voice of God can produce noticeable movement. in things that are the most immovable. You can take individuals, and they appear to be immovable. They are steadfast in their sinful ways. All God has to do is speak. And there is noticeable, movement. I can use myself as an example at salvation. I've seen it in others as well. People sitting there in filled with hatred. And God speaks. And there is a noticeable movement. They didn't plan to move. God spoke. And they moved. And we ought to always pray for that. That God's voice would move us in whatever way we need to be moved. And again, whatever means God chooses. Perhaps He's going to speak to us through His Word. Perhaps it'll be a circumstance. Whatever. Whatever way God chooses, it'll be powerful, it'll be majestic. And God's voice can break, and God's voice can move. But then notice in verse 7, the voice of the Lord has dividing power. And this is something that people usually do not attribute to God. But oh, how true it is. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Again, I believe He's witnessing a storm. But in the storm, he sees God. In the storm, the thunder seems to divide one lightning bolt from another. And the voice of the Lord has the ability to split. It has the ability to split. It has the ability to separate. It has the ability to section off, to break up, to alienate. The voice of God can do that. Oh, you have people today running around and thinking that everybody in the world is to be in unity. But God speaks many times for the purpose of dividing people. Separating people. Whether it be separating people from people or people from things or whatever. God's voice has a dividing power. Notice in Matthew 10, notice what Jesus said. Matthew 10. Verse 35 through verse 37. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. There's a division. And the daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And then he goes into this great lesson. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Needs to be a division. God speaks. The voice of God can divide. And there are many things that we need to be split from. There are many people that we need to be split from. When God saves your soul, there is a degree of a split from all your unsaved associates, family and friends. A division has taken place. God speaks. And I believe there are churches that need to be split in many directions. And God can do that. God can speak and can divide. I believe there are families that need to be divided. And then again, there are things that we need to be divided from. Spirits that we need to be divided from. And all God has to do is speak. Verse 8. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Voice of God has shaking power. To shake something speaks of a disturbance. God's voice can cause a great disturbance. Again, there's Many people today that seem to think that everyone ought to leave the house of God just joyful and happy and feeling good. God speaks and causes disturbances. Disturbance of soul. And many times our soul needs to be disturbed before we can feel good. The shaking speaks of a weakening. You know how many times we need to be shook. We need to be disturbed. We need to be weakened. But notice, it says here, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. When you think of a wilderness, you think of a place where one could possibly hide, where one could possibly conceal themselves. But there isn't anywhere you can hide from the voice of God. There isn't any wilderness thick enough to keep the voice of God out. There are people who feel a prick in their heart. They get uncomfortable in a church service. And I believe they begin to think, oh, this has got to end soon. This has got to end soon. And they get out of here as quick as they can. And many times, what they felt, they get away from. But what we ought to pray is that the Lord's voice would reach the wilderness and just continue to shake them. Continue to disturb them. Pretty hard to sleep if someone's shaking you all night long. And all for the voice of God to keep some folks awake. Just shaking them. Shaking them. The voice of the Lord also has enlivening power. Verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh hinds to calve. It brings life. We read in James 1 and verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now it doesn't get much plainer than that. Of his own will begat he us. And what did he use? The word of truth. Life must have a seed. And the seed is the voice of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there is a life-giving power in the voice. This is what happens when the Lord saves a sinner. He first quickens them. He first makes them alive, you see, because they're dead. How does he do that? He just speaks. He just speaks. And suddenly, there's life. It's not prayer. It's not saying a prayer that imparts life to a dead sinner. It's the voice of God. So, the voice of the Lord imparts spiritual life at salvation. We can become backslidden, and we need to be quickened. And the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, quicken thou me according to thy word. Again, just speak to me, Lord. The voice of the Lord invigorates. The voice of the Lord stimulates. The voice of the Lord restores and revives. The voice of the Lord. There is no greater curse upon an individual, upon a society, upon a nation, upon the world, than the silence of God. Than the silence of God. So, oh, we need this voice. And I believe the more apt we are to behold God, the more apt we are to recognize His voice. You know, it's amazing how many times people say, well, you know, I think God is trying to tell me something. You think?
I mean, their life is falling apart. Do you think the Lord might be trying to tell me something? No, he's not trying. He's telling you, and you're deaf. Amen.
The voice of the Lord, lastly, has revealing power and discovereth the forests. Again, you think of a forest, and you think there's a place where one can easily get lost. There's a place where one can easily hide. But the voice of the Lord discovereth the forest. It reveals. There isn't anything that can reveal like the voice of God. He may speak loudly to us. He may just whisper. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter, because however he speaks, his voice is powerful. His voice is full of majesty. So in closing, David had witnessed and experienced a tremendous storm in which he beheld God. He beheld the greatness of God. Once again, that needs to be our tendency. Everything that happens in our life, whether we consider it good or bad or indifferent, we ought to have this tendency about us to see God. And to see God's hand. And see God's movement. As you look back on your life, if you review your life, you can just review the last week. And if you carefully review it, you see the hand of God everywhere. And we can live that way every day. Just beholding the hand of God. Now, it's pretty hard to get depressed. It's pretty hard to get angry. It's pretty hard to get in a bad mood beholding God. Just to behold the Lord. And when we behold God in the happenings of life, again, I believe we're more apt to recognize his voice. Again, Jesus did say that his sheep know his voice. Yet it seems today that there are an awful lot of people who profess to be saved who do not have a clue concerning the voice of God. Isaiah 6 and verse 8, Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord." I heard the voice of the Lord. Oh, that would be so every day. If we can go a day without hearing the voice of God and it not bothering us, I've got news for you. You can go 2 days. And you can go 3. And you can go 4. And 5. And on and on. Do you realize how far away we can get from God not hearing his voice? We need to always be listening for his voice. I heard the voice of the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful experience. 1 Samuel 3, verse 10, and this time we will close. The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That ought to be our spirit and our attitude every day. Lord, I know you speak. Speak unto me today. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. I'm listening. Whatever you have to say to me, speak, Lord. I'm listening. Whatever means you choose to use, speak, Lord. I mean, a baby is born. God speaks. I mean, every time life comes into the world, God is speaking. Every time someone dies, God is speaking.
And on and on we can go. You witness other people and you see they fall into sin and things happen. God is speaking to us. We need to be listening. So many times we get angry because of what's happening, or we get upset about what's happening. Before you get angry, before you get upset, just stop and listen. Listen to what God is saying. You're driving down the road and you get a flat tire. God is speaking. Immediately people think, oh, what did I do now? I must have done something horrible. That, you see, that's a warped mind. It really is. And that's the way people think. Something bad happens, it's got to be sin in my life. Do you really, truly, I guess a lot of people do, and that's why so many people are miserable. They view God just standing there, just can't wait to let you have it. I mean, just can't wait to let you have it. That's not God. God can cause you a flat tire to avoid an accident up ahead, or 10,000 other things. You don't even have to know. But in all of those things, God speaks. And we need to be listening to what God says. And when we can hear God speak, even if we don't know the reason something has happened, we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Oh, how glad we ought to be of the greatness of God, and that He speaks. And that God would speak to me, that God would speak to you. If that isn't grace, I don't know what is. We have a wonderful God. There are people who won't speak to me. There are people who won't speak to you. But God speaks. Now that's amazing. That's amazing that God speaks to me. There are a lot of people that won't speak to us because in their minds they're better than we are. But yet God, holy God, perfect God, He speaks to me. And what a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us first song.